You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
This is Laura Bailey with the University of Michigan in the School of Public Health. I'm speaking today with researcher Eduardo Villamor, an epidemiologist who works on nutrition and health in children, about his latest paper, which looks at a possible link between vitamin D and childhood obesity. Can you tell us, how do you know if your kids are getting enough or too much vitamin D?
Because children do not necessarily have symptoms when they have simple vitamin D deficiency. In general, it will be important to measure blood levels of a form of vitamin D called 25-hydroxyvitamin D. Levels under 30 nanograms per milliliter would be indicative of insufficiency, and levels under 20 nanograms per milliliter would be considered deficiency.
And why is vitamin D important in the diet?
Vitamin D is necessary for proper bone formation and maintenance. However, a large body of evidence now suggests that it is also critical for many other physiological activities, for example, in immunity, neurological function, and metabolism. All cells in the body have vitamin D receptors, and many genes are activated by vitamin D.
What are the recommendations now, and why is there controversy over this number?
The recommendation for children and adolescents by the American Academy of Pediatrics currently is of 400 international units per day, and recommendations by the National Academies Institute of Medicine are of 200 units per day up to age 50. However, these numbers are considered too low by many experts on vitamin D because the rates of deficiency have been increasing in the United States and they are currently very high. Vitamin D deficiency is also becoming a problem in several other regions in the world. And on top of that, studies show that taking just 400 international units per day or even more than that is still not sufficient to decrease the rates of vitamin D deficiency. If you take 100 international units, it is estimated that on average you would increase your levels by about 1 nanogram per milliliter in about 2 to 3 months. So in a way, if you wanted to increase the population average from deficiency to sufficiency, say from 20 to 30 nanograms per milliliter, you would need to increase intake to at least 1,000 international units per day. Also, evidence from clinical trials suggests that the benefits of vitamin D supplementation on health outcomes may be apparent when it is given at doses that are much higher than the current recommendations. The Institute of Medicine is currently revising the recommendations, and it is likely that it will come up with higher numbers for adequate intake.
There are multiple reasons that kids and adults in the U.S. are short on vitamin D. Can you talk about some of these?
Lack of exposure to the sun is clearly a very important reason, and then dietary intake seems insufficient to compensate for that lack of sun exposure to produce vitamin D.
Do we know how much time we need to spend in the sun to get enough vitamin D?
This would depend somehow on the season of the year here in the higher latitudes and also on the level of skin pigmentation, but it is believed that in general during summer, going out for about 10 minutes during midday would generate sufficient vitamin D.
So can you tell us which foods provide vitamin D?
The most readily available dietary sources of vitamin D would be fortified foods. Those are foods to which vitamin D has been added. Dietary supplements also would provide sufficient vitamin D.
And what is the next step in this research?
We would like to examine whether improving vitamin D status of these school-aged children, for example, through supplementation, decreases their chances of becoming obese and developing other risk factors for chronic disease later in life. This type of intervention studies would provide the best evidence to support changes in policy and also recommendations for increased intake of vitamin D.
Villamor's research focuses on the nutritional determinants of maternal and child health, including the impact of maternal obesity on pregnancy outcomes, the influence of perinatal and early life exposures on the health of the offspring, the interactions between nutrition and infection, and the early development of risk factors for chronic disease in developing countries.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.